I think the difference now, like this is probably the third, if not fourth, attempt now to get a bypass of Ballyfenston Order, and this one was obviously very well advanced at this stage, because say now in January it's going to Mbord Pinola, like it'll go on for, but there's two parts to it. One is to get the planning permission for it, and the other part then is to publish as the CPO. That's where the acquire the land, and that's the start of it. And we're told that really that will take a year, maybe another year then, to do the tender documents. You can imagine the tender documents for a project of this size is massive, like to get them ready. So we are told that at the moment it looks like starting in 2028 and perhaps with completion date of around 2032. But at least at this stage, after so many years, and even with the present one, people asking, you know, where are we? And it's been slow. At least now we seem to be on a definite plan. We have time frames and so on. Look, there can be slippages, things can go wrong, but so far we're at least on a definite plan. And particularly in our case with Ballyfenston Order, the bypass, the 10T, the plan is to start there up at Capri, if you know, around the Roadhouse Bar, and that then will go to the northern side of the town, and more or less as a close flies, it passes Drumbow there. So a lot of people don't go to Drumbow, and it comes out there just more or less between that Kilross Junction and Drumkeen. It comes out there. There's a number of junctions on that as well. There's a major junction there down at the Glenfin Road where you'll be able to leave the bypass and go out onto the Glenfin Road to go out and under the Glentish Road. And then there's another junction. There's a small connection then up at Drumbow itself. And then there's another major junction out near Kilross. There's also a road that's going to take people off the Lifford Road down at St. Joseph and connect over at say Neil Kilross, that will be a 2+1 road to connect it up. That will take up a lot of the northern traffic that come up that want to go around the town. They will come up, turn out of St. Joseph's, come out at Kilross there approximately, and then veer around the town without actually having to go through the town itself. So that is the plans and the maps that we are at now. And that's quite a bit of work. And basically what we were told, when we, the councillors, as well as the public and council staff, really we wanted to get an update. And what we were said was, the question most people are asking, how do we know, or what makes us think that this 10T project bypass will go so well nationally, because there's no doubt there's lots of other projects, but we were told that a lot of the backing will be coming from Europe and other places, because this particular project in Donegal is classed as a lag in the region. It means that it's lagging behind a lot of the other areas in Ireland, very economically, socially, infrastructurally wise and all. And this would be as designated by Europe, and Europe will be putting a lot of funding into this as well. So from an economic and a social point of view, this project scores very, very high. The cost benefit and analysis as well is very high in value for money. The positive impact it will have economically, more so than other major projects down the country that we'll be in competition with. Another one as well, because of the timing of this, a lot of the latest environmental impacts, the studies and that are requirement now, they might have been there a few years ago when a number of projects like Galway and so on, when they started, they were ahead of us. But actually, these new requirements for environmental impacts, and there's a number of them, but we were just come into the time that they were involving, and they have been included in these studies as well. So on that one, apparently we're faring out very, very well as well. So a lot of the indicators, as best we know, and from what the engineers and the people involved in this on behalf of the council and the TAA and the government, this project is looking it's looking good, put it that way. Like, none of us knows, things can happen, but this is why it's scoring very high on the national and the European, which indicates that it should go ahead. And look, none of us guaranteed, but, you know, it's better than hearing something opposite that.
And the traffic in the Twin Towns is a serious issue, so it is. I'm just even thinking in terms of the two secondary schools there, they take in students from Castlefin, from Lifford, Killygordon, Drumkeen, as well as the two towns itself. So whenever you think of all those primary schools, that traffic, yes, will still be there at the rush hours, but all the other traffic that end up getting stuck at that time now will have somewhere else to go.
Yeah, there's another thing, that, and one of the big criteria nationally or internationally and in Europe, it's not about building new roads because they look to the future and you know, it's about bypasses. And bypasses are scoring very high because they are thinking, you can see a lot of work going on in the towns now at the moment, traffic calming and cycle lanes and pedestrian crossings, and down the country are even more advanced than us. And people complain how wide the footpaths are getting and narrow the roads are. This is all about giving the towns back to the people, not the drivers. The drivers are going to be like a secondary concern nearly to a certain stage, and that's why the likes of Balfane Stord has to be bypassed. Yes, you can have people driving from one town to another and the road is bad and they're narrow and that, and they're slow moving, but at least they are moving. Whereas it comes to towns like Ballybuffet, they're stopped. And that brings on another major factor, which is the air monitoring. Like, you can imagine with all them lorries several times a day in cars, all day, 7 days a week, sitting all the pollutant coming out and into that valley around the town, the negative effect that's having on people living in the town. Whereas, at least when they're out in the countryside, grant it's not a great road, but at least they're moving. It doesn't have the same negative. You don't have as many houses. Mm. Plus, you don't have that same build-up of smog and fog that you would get in the town. That's another reason why, particularly the Balfour, would score so high. There's a lot of benefit in that. And as I say, like, you're traveling there from Limerick, Galway, Sligo, right up into Letterkenny, Derry, and the whole northwest. That's the route you come up. Comes right up that road there. So you have lorries and cars. Look, some other towns, you have a lot. They're busy in the town centre, but them cars are in the town because they're designated to be there. They're in shopping or visiting that. I would say half, if not two-thirds, of the vehicles go through Balfane Stord don't need to be on Balfane Stord. They're going elsewhere. It's frustrating for them. It's frustrating for the town. In other cases in Balfane Stord, you could see there's major junctions there. McLeay's Corner, down at the chapel there in Stornorder, over beside McLehanny's, that Chestnut Road, and then up the street at the Lidl. These are major junctions. If that was in any other town, they would all be roundabouts. Everybody would get a or else they'd be all lit up. You'd have traffic lights. Everybody would get an opportunity to drive out and then safely. You can't do it here. The National Roads Authority wouldn't allow us to put in roundabouts at any of them three junctions. It's basically the local traffic trying to cross over and back is sort of running the gauntlet. You have to wait till someone stops in the queue to let you out, and whether that's up at Lidl, it's down the Glenfin Road junction, it's down there at the Chestnut Road outside the McCool's GA, or as I say, over the chapel. You just have to sit there, or up at McLeay's, where you have to run two or three lines of traffic coming up the Mulbray. And we won't have any say in that until the town's bypassed. After that, then, all them junctions can be changed to make them more suitable to local traffic and people. And we can also adapt and change parking and that, which we don't have a say locally. So there's a lot of benefits. There will be a lot of challenges for businesses and people in the town to sort of reinvent themselves and how do you attract people into the town then once it's bypassed. But that's something that can be worked on. But the bypass is originally needed, and as I say, the indicators are that so far that it's scoring very high on all the different criteria. Now that will know better when and Bord Conall looks at that next year and have the whole hearings and objections or whatever, and then once we get that, if we get through that, then it's straight out the other end to the usual tendering. But tendering for these three jobs are massive. Like, so there's 34 houses or something like that to be demolished. Some of them are derelict, empty, but there's 34 houses. This overall project, the three phases together, are something like 900 million. And as I say, it's usually to start around 2028 and finish it 2032. So, look, everybody is doing their best. Politically, from engineering, all the different organisations are all doing their best. They can't hurry it, because if they get something wrong, it's back to the drawing board. You've seen what happened on the A5 in Northern Ireland. That's been appealed. It's been stopped so many times because, quite obviously, everything's not right. It's not the way it should be anyway. And you have seen the same down the country, where jobs have been so far advanced, they end up having to be pulled back again.